So good evening. Thank you for attending. I'm excited to share this space and time with you this evening. My name is Nancy Martinson, and I am the Kent G. Shang Class of 78, Associate Dean of Students and Director of the Asian and Asian American Center. I would like to begin by acknowledging the Indigenous peoples of all the lands that we are on today. While we are gathering this evening on a virtual platform, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the importance of the lands we each call home. Whether you are here in Ithaca or elsewhere, Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayokono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayokono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We are grateful for the ability to organize here and wish to extend our respect to the people and elders of the Cayuga Nation. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayokono disposition and honor the ongoing connection of Gayokono people, past and present, to these lands and waters, and we reaffirm our commitment to improving our own understanding of local Indigenous peoples and their cultures. Tonight is an exciting night. I've been at Cornell a little over 2 years, and this is my second Perkins Prize. In 2019, I recall getting dressed up and going to the memorial room. Although this format is slightly different from the previous 25 years, the spirit of this event remains significant. I am elated to be part of a program that recognizes the wonderful contributions of the winners and nominees engagement that sought to bring communities and peoples together to promote peace and harmony and advance diversity and inclusion efforts. I would like to introduce President Pollack, who is not able to join us in person tonight, but would like to share a message. Martha E. Pollack is the 14th president of Cornell University and professor of computer science, information science, and linguistics. She took office on April 17th, 2017. President Pollack earned a bachelor's degree in linguistics at Dartmouth College and an MS and PhD in computer science and information science at the University of Pennsylvania. She was previously provost and executive vice president for academic affairs at the University of Michigan, where she was also professor of computer science and information. We are now going to play President Pollack's pre-recorded message to welcome everyone tonight.
I don't need to remind anyone that it's now been over a full year that we've been dealing with this pandemic. A year ago in March, when we closed our campus and sent our students home, as difficult and as stressful as that was, most of us hoped, certainly I hoped, that it wouldn't be too long before things pretty much got back to normal. But the months since then have been an emotional roller coaster in so many ways. Against the background of the pandemic, the burdens of which have fallen so unevenly on communities of color, we've experienced a year of upheaval, from the horrific murder of George Floyd, through a summer of protests for racial justice, to the increase in anti-Asian violence, and everything that came before and after. And here we are, over a year later, still meeting on Zoom. But we are also still moving forward our Cornell mission. Whether physically or virtually, we're all part of a campus that is now in its second semester of successful in-person instruction. And we are all part of a community that, despite many, many challenges, is advancing its mission of teaching, engagement, and research, and advancing our founding vision of being an institution for any person and any study. Yes, Cornell's commitment to diversity and inclusion goes back to our very beginning, but we must always refresh that commitment, and the ways in which we pursue it must always be evolving. For example, in response to the racialized violence and policing that again garnered national attention this year, we convened a public safety advisory committee whose members include a broad range of stakeholders. Its goal is to reimagine not just policing, but the way we approach public safety and security more generally on campus. The committee has been working diligently and engaging with the broad Cornell community as they develop a detailed set of recommendations to be submitted later this spring. And our faculty are deeply engaged in the creation of an anti-racism initiative, including a proposed Center for Racial Justice and Equitable Futures that will bring together scholars from various fields to engage in rigorous interdisciplinary research and scholarship that's aimed at advancing our understanding of the structural and systemic character of forms of racialization that have emerged out of our history. And our new equity training workshops, launched this semester, offer Cornell community members ways to learn about key issues such as allyship, inclusion, advocacy, and anti-racism in a format that includes both broad overviews and the development of useful skills. We know that we are just one university in a huge country, and there are limits to the impact we can achieve just at Cornell. We know that there need also to be much larger efforts across our society to move forward as a nation. But I believe deeply in the importance of what we're doing here at Cornell through the work of our students, faculty, staff, and alumni. To quote the ancient Jewish scholar Rabbi Tarfon in a different context, "You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to desist from it." I want to thank all of our students' organizations and all members of our community who are so committed to the work of enhancing equity and inclusion at Cornell. And I especially want to thank Emeritus Trustee Thomas W. Jones, class of 1969, for establishing the Perkins Prize and for his continued commitment to recognizing the ongoing efforts in the Cornell community to create greater interracial understanding and harmony. Congratulations to the Perkins Prize winners, and thank you all for being a part of this work and this event.
A big thank you to President Pollack for that wonderful message. Next, I would like to introduce Marla Love, the Robert W. and Elizabeth C. Staley Interim Dean of Students. Prior to Cornell, Marla worked at Azusa Pacific University in Southern California, where she served as the Director of Graduate and Professional Student Affairs. Prior to her time at APU, she served as the Assistant Dean of Students at Scripps College, where she held broad oversight on a number of social justice programs, crisis management operations, and Title IX responsibilities. Everybody, Marla Love.
Thanks, Nancy. I appreciate that introduction. Good evening and welcome again to the annual ceremony to award the James A. Perkins Prize for Interracial and Intercultural Peace and Harmony, and the second annual Student and Campus Life Diversity and Inclusion Awards. We had to take a break last year because of the pandemic, but we're so excited that there were so many nominations and that folks were willing to recognize members of their community for the good work that they've done in the last year. As Nancy mentioned, I'm the Robert W. and Elizabeth C. Staley Interim Dean of Students, and this is an exciting time to kick off the award ceremony tonight. First, I want to thank and honor those who have contributed to this ceremony: the planning committee, which planned the program and organized the logistics of this event, thinking about how we might deliver this program virtually. So the selection committee, or the judges, who read through 40 strong applications submitted from across campus, all of which met the criteria in different ways. The work of the judges to discern the best of the best is ever important. And I want to especially join in thanks to Tom Jones for creating the Perkins Prize in honor of President James Perkins, for his years as a student leader and as a trustee, and for his ongoing support of Cornell University, and for setting us on a vision of thinking about how we join together to build stronger communities. The Perkins Prize epitomizes the value that Cornell University should not only invite individuals from a variety of backgrounds, but it should also welcome those individuals. We must create a sense of belonging, and we do that by joining together. The concept of belonging transcends identity. It really gets down to the human experience of what can drive a vibrant, happy, and ultimately a transformative college experience. Since the 1960s, there's been a huge effort to diversify the collegiate student body, and especially in the last 16 years at the Ivies, you've seen a dramatic sea change in our compositional diversity, from international students to domestic students of color, to first-gen college students, to women in STEM majors, to Pell-eligible students. Cornell students exemplify what it means to be a leading institution in a cosmopolitan society. But that's not enough. The task ahead of us is to harness the opportunity we have with this compositional diversity to really dig into relationships, to making space, to be creating an equitable environment. The world outside of Cornell shows us that when we harness the diversity of a working team and we really bring all voices to the table in a lab or on a corporate sales team or in an innovation group in an engineering firm, you end up with better outcomes, a better work product, a better set of ideas, better research and design. And I think it's the same thing for us as a college campus. I'm so appreciative of the work that Cornell is doing to advance our efforts to be a more equitable and inclusive institution. And President Pollack talked about some of those efforts. And tonight we'll really dig into some of the efforts that students have contributed to this campus community to continue to push us forward, to continue to think about ways that we can bring more equity and inclusion to our campus. As we all work together to push for all students to have a sense of belonging, it only benefits our community and grows our community. When people feel that they belong in a community, all good kinds of things happen. Their resilience goes up, which allows them to overcome obstacles. Their ability to advocate for themselves goes up because they feel like they have a voice. And our ability to take healthy risks and make friends and take risks across difference goes up so that we have more intergroup contact. So tonight I get to start off by talking to you a little bit about the winners of the Student and Campus Life Diversity and Inclusion Awards. As a leader in the Division of Student and Campus Life, I'm energized by the contributions of countless student organizations and leaders who lead programs that demonstrate that we are a better campus when we are invested in constructing an inclusive campus environment. The nominees for the Diversity and Inclusion Awards are attentive to developing and uplifting SEL's diversity and inclusion values. The winners and nominees have contributed to advocating for various student populations, engaging with staff, faculty, and the local community to promote a more inclusive Cornell. It's in this spirit that we honor organizations and student leaders that continue the legacy of an equitable and inclusive community at Cornell with the Student and Campus Life Diversity and Inclusion Awards. The students and organizations we will recognize tonight have shown through actions and programs that they are invested in how the co-curricular environment they desire can be fulfilled through leadership and programming for themselves and for their peers. I continue to be appreciative of the continued support the Office of the Dean of Students has received from our leadership to continue to move these efforts forward. As we all work together, Cornell will change and allow all students to have a sense of belonging, which will benefit this community. With that, it's my pleasure to tell you more about the winners of the Student and Campus Life Diversity and Inclusion Awards. First, I'd like to start with the Quiet Influence Award. This award is presented to an undergraduate student or student organization whose significant effort in the area of diversity and inclusion, whose significant effort in the area of diversity and inclusion is shown by building up and influencing others. This individual or group engages in this work oftentimes under the radar, showing a commitment to listening, influencing, and/or winning others over to make noticeable contributions to the campus community. And the winner is the Translator Interpreter Program. I'd like to tell you a bit more about this organization. The Translator Interpreter Program is a student-run program of the Public Service Center that trains multilingual students to serve as volunteer translator interpreters for community agencies and academic departments in emergency and non-emergency situations. This past year alone, TIP volunteers served our community by interpreting for domestic violence and homeless shelters, bringing language barriers between K-12 students, families, and teachers, and translating critical information about human trafficking and public health resources. Congratulations, TIP. And here's a short video from this group.
Hello, everyone, and thank you very much to the Office of Student and Campus Life for this Quiet Influence Award. Our group, the Translator Interpreter Program, or TIP, is a student-run program of the Cornell Public Service Center. We train bilingual and multilingual Cornell students to serve as volunteer translators and interpreters for community agencies and departments in both emergency and non-emergency situations.
The Translator Interpreter Program, like most, has had a challenging year. To adapt to the pandemic, we have shifted our entire volunteer training and certification process to online. In order for our volunteers to continue to provide interpretation services, we've trained our volunteers to interpret over Zoom. Despite these challenges and countless others, our volunteers and board members have stepped up to provide critical service in times of some of our community's most dire need.
We have provided translation for the User Guide to COVID-19 Resource Application called Disaster Talk based in Washington, D.C. We translated vaccine information for the Hopkins County Health Department into 10 different languages. We have also provided translation for the New York State Sea Grant Summit, as well as interpretation for client readings for the Cornell Asylum and Convention Against Torture Affiliate Clinic.
And although most of this service is seen as propelling the missions of agencies we work with, they simultaneously and quietly act to forward our mission of promoting language access and racial equity. But even for a quiet influence like our program, we appreciate the recognition bestowed upon us by this award. Thank you.
Thank you, Tip, and congratulations again for as winners of the Quiet Influence Award. Next up is the Student Organization of the Year Award. The Student Organization of the Year recognizes a group that has successfully demonstrated a commitment to diversity and inclusion, exemplifying their overall mission and purpose through campus engagement that made a lasting impact on the campus community. This year, we did not receive any nominations for graduate and professional organizations, so we will only be recognizing one undergraduate organization. And the winner is Cornell Asian Pacific Student Union, also known as CAPSU. CAPSU adapted to the virtual programming requirements of the pandemic and were able to plan and host many different types of events, all focused around engaging students from diverse backgrounds in frank and honest conversations about race, class, and gender identity, and pride in diversity and representation. In response to a summer and long history of racial injustice and police brutality against Black Americans, CAPSU co-hosted a series of events titled CAPSU Conversations, Anti-Blackness in the APEDA Community. These events were co-hosted in collaboration with Black and Asian American Cornell student activists from the student organization Cornell Students for Black Lives. In response to recent incidents of anti-Asian racism and violence, CAPSU has been very intentional in providing support for students in healing from and processing community trauma. Congratulations, and here is a short video from this group.
Hi everyone, we're CAPSU, Cornell's Asian Pacific Student Union. We are an umbrella organization for all Asian and Asian interest groups on Cornell's campus. We hope to create programming that brings together the Asian and Asian American community and the greater Cornell community.
New to CAPSU this school year are CAPSU Conversations. These monthly discussions are opportunities for CAPSU and the Cornell community to discuss culturally prevalent topics, such as mental health in the Asian Pacific Islander Desi American community, diversity and inclusion in the workplace, anti-Asianism, and anti-Blackness. CAPSU Conversations are safe spaces for all in the APEDA community to share our experiences and opinions in order to enhance our voices and make change.
This year, we were fortunate enough to bring in fantastic speakers who are leaders in Asian American arts, such as Asian Boss Girl, Justin H. Min from Netflix's Umbrella Academy, Sima Liu, who's going to be Marvel's first Asian American superhero with his own film, and singers and performers Haley Kiyoko and Eric Nam. We were able to discuss with them the importance of Asian American representation and leadership in media and the arts, as well as open dialogue about the intersection between Asian American feminism, masculinity, and the queer community.
We implemented a year-long mentorship program during the 2020 to 2021 school year called the Ambassador Program. It ultimately is a platform for Asian and Asian American students to become leaders in their respective communities. Our 10 ambassadors have done amazing work, such as shadowing and especially aiding our executive board members, creating a social media campaign celebrating CAPSU sub-organizations, and hosting a panel event supporting Asian businesses in Ithaca.
This year, we decided to program an extended Asian night called Staycation with CAPSU, featuring a QR scavenger hunt around campus, a trivia night, a performance competition involving multiple cultural and performance suborgs, as well as two speaker events, all centered around a virtual travel theme. Over 100 students participated in our weekend-long events, and we awarded them with goodie bags, additional funding, as well as album raffles.
Thank you everyone for this award. We hope to continue to create programming that can bring our communities on campus together.
Thanks, CAPSU, and congratulations again on winning Student Organization of the Year Award. Our last award of the evening, or not of the evening, but of the last award, our final Student and Campus Life Diversity and Inclusion Award is awarded for transformational leadership. This award is bestowed upon an undergraduate who has established a legacy of transformative leadership that contributed to an inclusive environment for underrepresented and marginalized community. This year's award recipient is Nayara Bezerra-Gastisi. Nayara has held leadership roles as co-president of Haven, the LGBTQ plus student union, president of Consent Ed, and the president of the Sexual Violence Prevention Network, QVPN. A perfect example of their intentionality to include queer voices in this critical topic can be seen in the list of events that have happened in April for Sexual Assault Awareness Month this year. Queer Survivor Space, Bisexual Survivor Space, and a discussion with Amita Swadeen, queer femme of color. Nayara has worked to develop, facilitate, and evaluate queer sexual wellness programming. In collaboration with professional staff and student staff, Nayara has helped lead the charge to create the Queer Sexual Wellness and Resiliency Education Program, or QSWARE, at the LGBT Resource Center. Congratulations, and here is a short video from Nayara.
Hello, my name is Nayara. I study history and gender studies, and I am honored to receive the Transformational Leader Award today. It is an honor for my work and my eBoard's work to be recognized. Thank you to Christopher Lujan for nominating me and for the rest of the board for its time and consideration. I have been co-president of Haven with Alicia Chen, the president of the Sexual Violence Prevention Network and Consent Ed, and I have been involved as an intern in the LGBT Resource Center all in this last year. My work at Cornell has primarily focused on LGBTQ plus community building and sexual violence prevention. As queer students are disproportionately affected by sexual violence on campus, I took my leadership opportunities and made sure that queer communities were talking about sexual violence and that sexual violence prevention educators included and focused on queer communities. Clearly, when I became president, I was not aware that I would have to be a student leader through a pandemic. Throughout my time, though, I have learned that accessibility and collaboration are the main pillars of my leadership style. In my eBoards, we had conversation about students' capacities to involve themselves in extracurricular activities. Additionally, collaboration made sure that people had support networks and that events reached broad swaths of people. The Sexual Violence Prevention Network was a new organization on campus this year, and we put on a month of events called Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Throughout this month, we put on inclusive sex ed, a queer survivor space, and a conversation about queer sexual violence and prison systems and more. My eBoard and I are proud of all the survivors who showed up to spaces and excited to continue to fighting for queer-specific sexual violence prevention on campus. Through my internship at the LGBT Resource Center, I've been given the opportunity to create the Queer Bystander Intervention module of our Queer Sexual Wellness and Resilience Education Program. And I am excited to make sure that allies and LGBTQ plus community members feel equipped and comfortable to step in at any time. Next, I am going to be a campus educator for the Advocacy Center here in Ithaca. Thank you so much again.
Congratulations again, Nayara, on winning the Transformational Leadership Award. Let's give a final round of applause, virtual applause, for our inaugural SEL Diversity and Inclusion Award winners. Thank you all for your contributions to our campus community.
Yes, thank you, Dean Love, and congratulations to all the SEL Award winners. One more time from your living room or wherever you are. Woo! Yes, translator interpreter program. I see you, CAPSU. What, Nayara? Yes, yes to everything. Our students are so impressive. So much so, I'm gonna actually show you a video to highlight all the students. So many applicants submitted information about their programs, but only a few will be recognized formally. This slideshow contains photos of the winner and honorable mention programs, but also includes all our nominees to appreciate the breadth of commitment across campus to address intercultural peace and harmony, diversity, and inclusion. Enjoy.
What a great video. It was great to see all the things that have happened in this community. In spite of the pandemic, in spite of social distancing, in spite of having to be virtual, the way in which groups have come together to really enrich this community is really fantastic to see. And I love that slideshow. Thanks, Nancy, and for those that helped to put that little slideshow together. It's my pleasure to introduce our next speaker, who is a cheerleader for diversity and inclusion, and we are so thankful for his involvement at Cornell. I'd like to introduce Tom Jones, who is Trustee Emeritus, Presidential Counselor, and Frank Rhodes Exemplary Alumni Service Award recipient. In 1995, Mr. Jones established the James A. Perkins Prize for Intercultural and Interracial Peace and Harmony to promote the advancement of campus interracial understanding and to honor past president James A. Perkins. Mr. Perkins and Mr. Jones had developed a strong personal relationship over the years. Mr. Jones came to Cornell University in 1965 at a time when the university, under the leadership of President Perkins, was undertaking a successful effort to increase the enrollment of Black students. Mr. Jones was elected freshman class president and was a member of the Student Judicial Board and was a student government activist before becoming involved in the controversial takeover of Willard Straight Hall in 1969. After leaving Cornell, Mr. Jones eventually led TIA CREF for many years and, as mentioned, was a Cornell trustee for many years. In 2019, Mr. Jones became a published author with the release of From Willard Straight to Wall Street, a memoir, in which he tells a story as a campus revolutionary who participated in the Straight occupation in 1969 and how it altered his course over the next 50 years. Mr. Jones is with us tonight and you'll get to meet him and see him. But we're now going to play his pre-recorded message that he has prepared for tonight's event.
My remarks today are a 5-minute history lesson on race in America as I see it. Please listen carefully because the next chapter in this story will be written by you. Chapter 1 is the first 250 years in America from 1619 when slaves first landed in Virginia to 1865 when the Civil War ended. I call this the era of chattel slavery. Chattel slavery meant that Black people were afforded the same status as agricultural livestock, subject to being bought, sold, mortgaged, whipped, or any other degradation their owners decided to inflict. It was illegal to teach slaves to read and write. Blacks were not American citizens, had no legal standing or rights in a court of law, no property rights to own any possessions, no human rights, and no family rights. It was routine for children to be sold away from their parents. This harsh era was as bleak as life could possibly be for human beings. Chapter 2 is the 150-year period from the end of the Civil War in 1865 to the present day. I call this the era of civil rights. Blacks were emancipated from slavery and granted American citizenship and voting rights by constitutional amendment, but received no financial reparations for slavery and were not welcome in most of America. Most began their freedom journey with no property other than the rags in which they were clothed. Despite ongoing entrenched racial discrimination and ongoing violent anti-Black terrorism personified by the 4,000 lynchings which occurred between 1870 and 1950, Blacks have slowly achieved equal treatment under law. It is popular on many college campuses to say nothing has changed, but that is not true. Today, millions of African Americans have been educated, including at elite colleges and universities. Today, millions of African Americans have lifted their families out of poverty, and some are counted amongst the wealthiest Americans. Today, African Americans have achieved the pinnacle of every occupation and profession in America, including the presidency. This era is perhaps best described in the words of Maya Angelou's poem, "And Still I Rise," quote, "You may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, you may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise." Chapter 3 is just now beginning. I think the central question will be whether America can succeed as a multiracial and multicultural democracy. Global opponents such as China describe America as a nation in decline, citing racial conflict and inequality as key drivers of their thesis of decline. Even America's friends around the world watched in disbelief as the 2020 presidential election results were disputed by national Democratic and Republican political parties, which seemed to have lost the ability to agree even on basic facts regarding what is true or not true. Most Americans were shocked to watch the January 6th violent assault on the Capitol building, which had racial undertones in the visibility of Confederate flags and Nazi symbols. It is in difficult historical periods like the present when we most need the best and brightest among us to step up and help us find our way. Your participation in the activities which led to your nomination for the Perkins Prize testifies that you care deeply about racial reconciliation and social harmony. I hope you will persevere and that your success includes making Cornell University an example of positive and constructive race relations to which all Americans look for guidance and inspiration. You are the people who will write this next chapter of race in America. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Mr. Jones, for reminding us of the spirit of the Perkins Prize and for your contributions to help organizations and departments to continue the good work of bringing communities together to pursue harmony and connection. I would now like to introduce Dr. Ryan Lombardi, who will be recognizing our next award recipients. Dr. Lombardi serves as the Vice President for Student and Campus Life at Cornell University. The Division of Student and Campus Life provides a broad array of programs and services designed to support students and the campus community, including athletics and physical education, Office of the Dean of Students, Campus and Community Engagement, Cornell Health, Campus Life, Enterprise Services, Cornell Career Services, and the Office of the Vice President. The division is comprised of over 1,200 staff. Dr. Lombardi received an undergraduate degree in music education from Westchester University and a master's degree in higher education administration from the University of Kansas. He completed a doctorate in higher education administration at North Carolina State University. Everybody, VP Ryan Lombardi.
Thank you so much, Dr. Martinson. It's wonderful to be with everybody tonight live from the home office here in Ithaca, New York. I hope you all are doing well. I miss being in space with you and having a chance to be close to you on this joyous and celebratory occasion. I want to just take a moment and thank Mr. Tom Jones for his remarks, of course, tonight, and his thoughts and his advice and wisdom, but most importantly for his commitment and his generosity to Cornell and his commitment to helping push Cornell to be a better version of itself. I've known Tom since I arrived to Cornell now nearly 6 years ago, and I've known him to be always steadfast in his beliefs and also committed and willing to doing the work necessary to keep pushing all of us forward, to keep learning himself, and to build the relationships that are so important today and in the future as we think about chapter 3 that Tom has challenged us. He's with us live tonight, and he's not going to be giving any remarks, but I'm told perhaps we can see him briefly on the screen and he could maybe wave to everybody. so that we could thank him for being with us. So Tom, if you can turn on your video. There he is, folks, in the flesh, a true legend and a visionary at Cornell, and someone that I admire and respect and am deeply grateful to for his role in shaping the trajectory of our institution.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being here tonight live to watch the event.
It's a beautiful ceremony, so congratulations to your team for putting this together. Very impressive.
Great, thank you very much. All right, I do have the pleasure tonight, and I'm happy to recognize and award the James A. Perkins Prize for Interracial and Intercultural Peace and Harmony winner, along with the recognition of the honorable mentions for this award. And as we gather to recognize organizations and initiatives and individuals that have demonstrated the very best in bringing communities together, we were reminded of a difficult time in Cornell history. However, the Perkins Prize highlights the progress we have made, yet the need to continue to push forward towards greater equity and inclusion. And I want to pause for just a moment before I jump into the awarding of the honorable mention and the finalists, and acknowledge the extraordinary circumstances under which we live. And I'm tired of using those terms, the extraordinary circumstances. It's been a remarkably challenging year on so many fronts, this pandemic and the pandemic of systemic racism that have plagued our community this year and for many years, and how this has impacted our communities differentially, and how hard it's been on so many of our students. And it's been difficult for us as the staff and student campus life not to be physically present with you to support you, but we've tried desperately to be with you virtually and in other spaces to appreciate the efforts that you've put forward and to remain committed to being your allies and your advocates in all the true senses of the word. And I want to thank in particular my colleagues, many of whom are tuning in tonight to this award ceremony. I feel very privileged to work with my outstanding colleagues in the Dean of Students office, and I noticed other folks from across campus. It really is a privilege to serve Cornell, and it's a privilege to serve all of you as the Vice President for Student and Campus Life. And most importantly, like all of my colleagues, our honor and privilege to serve the students of Cornell University. Students, you inspire us, you motivate us, we're in awe of you, and we're honored to be a part of your educational journey. And that's what this is. It's an education, it's a growth process, and we hope that this has been a transformational experience for you and your time here. Now to move into the honoring of our recipients this evening for the Perkins Prize. Each year, the Perkins Prize is awarded to a Cornell program, organization, or event that has shown accomplishment in involving students to promote common values and shared community to enhance the abilities of students to work with, to live with, and to learn from individuals from a wide range of backgrounds, beliefs, identities, and cultural perspectives. We have so many deserving applicants for the Perkins Prize that the selection committees have annually chosen one or two organizations that deserve recognition as Perkins Prize honorable mention. Tonight we'll be honoring one organization with an honorable mention. I'm pleased to announce that this year's honorable mention award goes to the Building Allyship Series. The Building Allyship Series was conceived of and developed by members of the Graduate and Professional Student Diversity Council, otherwise known as the GPSDC. Of course, we always do that at Cornell. With support from the Graduate School Office of Inclusion and Student Engagement, led by Dr. Sarah Hernandez, brings together members of identity groups historically excluded from and underrepresented in the academy, members of the Cornell community that they have identified as strong allies, and others seeking to develop skills for allyship, to collectively learn how to support each other as we work, live, and learn together. Each event centers specific identity groups to explore how allyship can mitigate the challenges that members experience in academia, During the 2020 and 2021 academic year, event themes included dangers of performative allyship, combating anti-Blackness, coming out for allyship with the LGBTQ plus community, and understanding intersectionality to be better allies. The GPSDC plans to continue this series indefinitely with at least four events during the 2021 and 2022 academic year, focusing on topics of anti-Asian discrimination and violence, Indigenous land dispossession and settler colonialism, ability and disability, and marginalization of international scholars' identities. It is my pleasure to congratulate the Building Allyship series. We'll now hear a brief pre-recorded video from this group.
I'm Kathy Krishnan.
I'm Samantha Bosco.
And we're members of the Building Allyship Board.
We are so humbled to have received an honorable mention for the Perkins Prize for Interracial and Intercultural Peace.
The Building Allyship series was designed to empower people who wanted to change their behavior to be better, critical allies to those who are less privileged.
Access to the series was extended from the Cornell Graduate School out to other academic institutions and industry professionals who are invested in learning.
Our events this year were focused on critical versus performative allyship,
anti-Blackness,
homophobia and transphobia,
and intersectionality through the lens of Latinidad.
Panels included both members of these groups and scholars who study these issues,
which made for robust, open, and thoughtful conversations.
In each session, we explained what critical allyship is in this context and how oppression works on different axes.
This gave people a deeper understanding of why they specifically had the power to change things and how that power could be used.
At the end of every session, we wanted people to walk away with concrete things they could do to be better allies to those around them.
And we're excited to continue this work next year as we dive into more topics.
Congratulations again to the Building Allyship series. Thank you for your leadership on campus and all of your efforts this year. We look forward to your continued work in the coming year and the topics that you've outlined that you'll be focusing on next year. Now, the time we've all been waiting for, the announcement of the Perkins Prize winner. This is very exciting. That's a dramatic pause I'm trying to do right now, if that wasn't obvious. I know they won't be calling me up to host the Academy Awards or the Oscars or the Emmys anytime soon. But I am delighted to announce that this year's winner is Cornell Students for Black Lives, who have called us all into action over this past year. Cornell Students for Black Lives is a coalition of almost 300 student organizations on Cornell's campus committed to amplifying the many unique Black voices on campus by promoting activism and education to combat implicit and explicit racism. C4BL, as they're affectionately known, were inspired by the Third World Liberation Front during the Civil Rights Movement, which demanded that universities acknowledge the underemphasized histories of Black, Asian, Latinx, Indigenous, and other communities of color. They formed a diverse coalition with social, cultural, and professional organizations to leverage their unique platforms and networks. Within the first 2 days, C4BL raised nearly $22,000, mostly from Cornell professors and parents. Then they continued to build power by partnering with the Cornell Black Alumni Association, CBA, as we call it, to tap into Cornell alumni's extensive network and financial capital. In just 3 weeks, over 1,100 community members donated, demonstrating the strength of our grassroots advocacy. Ultimately, a total of over $118,000 was raised, with all proceeds going to local, state, and national 501c3 nonprofits that demand and advocate for justice for Black lives. Since the summer fundraiser, Cornell Students for Black Lives has transformed to a Black-led organization that continues to educate on intersectional Black issues. They've continued to partner with other Black activist organizations such as the Cornell Abolitionist Revolutionary Society and Black Students United, to push for the common goal of institutional anti-racist change. Accepting the prize on behalf of Cornell Students for Black Lives are some members of the executive board, and I believe we also have a recorded video of their acceptance. Congratulations, C4BL.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sherelle, and we are both co-presidents of Cornell Students for Black Lives, also known as C4BL. Cornell Students for Black Lives is a coalition of over 280 student organizations working to support anti-racist initiatives on Cornell's campus. C4BL was founded this summer in response to several incidents of racist violence across the country against Black people. We started a fundraiser and raised over $100,000 in support of five organizations doing work in support of Black lives.
This semester, in the fall semester, we changed into an educational platform to educate our coalition members on things such as microaggression and biases, and we actually launched a campaign at the start of the fall to let our coalition members know how to educate their members and lead a inclusive and equitable recruitment practices.
We also held a COVID-19 disparities workshop in which we talked about the different ways that various communities and demographics have been impacted by COVID-19. For example, Black Americans have disproportionately died or been infected with COVID-19 relative to their white peers.
This semester, we hosted a coalition community discussion after recruitment has happened to have a kind of review of what happened during recruitment and how they can have more inclusive initiatives and what problems they faced during recruitment that they can improve upon for next semester.
We're really excited to be receiving the Perkins Award. We think that we can use this funding to do something amazing for the community, such as hosting a program known as State of Black America next fall.
Thank you.
Congratulations again to C4BL, Cornell Students for Black Lives. Very well, very, very much deserved. I get to turn this back over to Dean of Students Marla Love. Phenomenal Dean of Students, Marla Love. But before I do, I just want to again thank Mr. Jones for his presence tonight and for his continued leadership. And I thought the quote that was used by Maya Angelou, the late great Maya Angelou, I had the privilege of being in her company 8 years in a row when I was at Duke University. She would speak to our freshman class every fall, and I was the host for her. And the quote of "Still I Rise" really resonated with me tonight. And not for me personally, but what I want to say is throughout the challenges that we've seen in this past year to Cornell students, still you rise. I see it day in and day out on our campus. My colleagues and I see it. And I just want to again express my gratitude, my appreciation, and my awe, because still you rise. Thank you. Now over to you, Marla.
Thanks, boss. I appreciate it. This has been a really great evening. I continue to be energized by the things that happen in this community. I continue to be excited for where Cornell is headed and the way that our students are deeply involved and committed to our future, to what Cornell can be, to what Cornell still needs to improve on, and what Cornell is doing well, and also all the ways in which we play and work, ways in which we work together to meet that goal. I appreciate all of the students who were nominated, all the organizations that were nominated, the students who have given timeless, more time, more heart, more effort to their organization this year as we manage the pandemic and manage sort of organization leadership in a new sort of configuration. I look forward to a time that we're all back together on campus. Can't wait to see what you'll do, what you'll bring to this community. I hope that you know that there are many of us that are on this campus that continue to want to support you, to help you see your vision, to move things forward, and to be partners with you. And so if you're in your living room like I am with a coffee or water or a beverage, feel free to raise it in toast to all of our winners tonight and all of our nominees for the great things that they are bringing to Cornell. They're making us a richer, more diverse, more inclusive, more equitable place, asking us to continue to ask the hard questions of ourselves as a community. And so I want to toast you and say thank you and have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much, Dean Love, for those lovely words. Also, I want to do a shout out to Building Allyship Series, Cornell Students for Black Lives. What's up? I'm so proud of you. Congratulations on those awards. Yes, everyone celebrate again for them because yes, like these awards are a big deal and we are so excited that you won them. All right, so as we are winding down for the night, we're going to end the program with a compilation of a few Lingua Mater videos. The Lingua Mater competition is co-sponsored by the Language Resource Center, the Office of the Vice Provost for International Affairs, and the Office of International Alumni Relations. For those of you who sing in another language, and get inspired by this next video, and trust me, you will. Please note that the 2021 competition will open up in fall, so start practicing now. I hope you enjoy this video as much as I did. I do want to mention that these videos were created pre-pandemic, so that's why they don't have masks on. Don't get them in trouble. Honestly, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the program, and we hope you have a fantastic, wonderful night. Thank you again. Have a good one.